would, and let's look at some. Mike Borowski is in. Well, we're going to have another guy start teaching. So I might be coming to you, and if you're not, you ought to be ready to be able to teach the Word of God. And so I might be coming to you to have you come and maybe give us something from the Word of God and see what you can come up with. Now, I love teaching. I love going through it. I love doing it. And I love being a part of the Word of God, being able to teach the Word of God. When I first came to church here, when I first started pastoring, we didn't have hardly anybody in Sunday school. And I stood over here and had a few people. Reason why I do that with the guys try to get them where they teach, be able to get, it makes you study. It'll make you study your Bible and get things. You say, man, I don't want to get there and look like a fool. I want to know what I'm talking about. So you'll start studying the Word of God to see what the Bible has to say about things and what you're going to teach on. I was kidding Josh this morning. I kid Joe this morning. I said, y'all ready to teach? And I said, didn't you get the memo? And they said, no, I didn't get it. I said, well, you're going to have to get it. And Josh said he'll just pass on to somebody else. But take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, look at there here for a minute. And after being pastoring 30 years, and, you know, you get to where you just got, you can just open the Word of God and been studying the Word of God, but you still need to study. And but it's good to be able to have a good familiarity with the Bible and know where things are. I think every Christian ought to know that, whether you're a preacher or what, you ought to have a good familiarity, I can't even say the word now, be familiar with the Word of God and be able to know where things are in the Word of God. And that way, the Bible says, if a man asks of the hope that lieth within, you'll be able to give him an answer. Amen. And you'll be able to show him from the Word of God. And the Word of God is what's going to do the work. And it's going to do the job. If you let the Word of God, your opinions is great, you know, for you, but it might not be for anybody else. It might not help anybody else. But we're going to look at, Brother Ryan was praying, and he said, Lord, help us to worship you. And it's a shame today in America, there's not a lot of worshiping going on. We don't worship God. And here we're coming up on Christmas time. And at Thanksgiving, we ought to be thankful. And worship comes from a thankful heart. And when you're thankful. And we went through that last week about what happens when you're unthankful. You can go into apostasy. You can go into all kinds of mess and be perverted and all kinds of stuff. So, but in Matthew chapter 2, and it says, talking about worship, and the Bible says this about Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And you notice wise men came. Wise men worship God. Wise person will worship the Lord if you're wise. If you're not wise, you ain't going to worship God. A wise man will seek God and worship the Lord. And that's what a wise man is supposed to do. And the Bible says, saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? Worship. Worship him. Worship. That's the highest occupation any Christian could ever do. When I think about David worshiping God over out there by himself, and we're going to look at some scripture, I think about David out there worshiping God. And he's writing the Psalms, and he's out there worshiping. He's watching over the animals. He's busy working, but he's worshiping. And God gave him. God liked David. David sang God. There's a difference between praise, and there's a difference between worship. Praise will come out of your mouth, but it can happen at the same time. Worship and praise can go on together, right together. And sometimes worship is just, sometimes you're just not saying nothing. You're just worshiping God in your heart and thanking him. But praise, if it's in there, if worship is in there and you are thankful, it'll come out of here. You can't help it. It just does. And, I've had people say to me, well, your church is so loud and people get up and they scare us and they run down the aisles. And I've run into a lot of people. They said, we've been to your church and this crazy guy ran down the aisle taking his boots, smacking them together. Amen. I said, well, he's gone right now. He's over in New Jersey. He lives in Jersey. I said, but that shouldn't scare you. And it should not scare you, somebody running down the aisle. Nobody's going to fall out on the floor and start going, blah, 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 and foam coming out of their mouth and you know, beating their head against the wall and that kind of stuff. Well, they might beat their head against the wall, but we've had guys run into the wall and bust the walls. And I've had guys pick me up and break my ribs while they pick me up. I mean, people run the aisles and a guy come by and snatched me up and broke my ribs, man. I mean, I didn't tell nobody for a couple weeks. My pride, it wouldn't let me. But worship is not, that's just praise. That's just people praising. If you can go on YouTube and you can see the church in here one night, there's been over a couple million hits now, I think. And we had a service here one night where Earl Hughes was up here singing. And Roe Dudley jumps in the baptismal pool and you know, all kinds of crazy stuff happened. Mike Payton threw his coat in Earl's face. And people run up and down the aisle. Then he had Brother Rowley dancing down the aisle. And when I say dancing, I mean he wasn't doing the boogaloo. He wasn't doing the bump. He was just kind of doing this, you know. And so he was doing that coming down the aisle at the end. But it just got wild. I've seen it wilder than that. And I've seen some wild services. I've seen it where people got praising God. And when folks were singing down in Pensacola, they got up there and started singing. And I seen them praising God, and you couldn't even hear the people singing anymore. There was 400 people standing their feet, shouting, praising God. People running around outside, running around everywhere. Nobody really got hurt. And you know, just running. And I've seen it down south in Dr. Seidler's church where the choir starts singing, and I've seen people come out of the choir, pick up the flower pots, run around the church, screaming and yelling. Old people. I said, when old people start worshiping God, you know something's happening. When old people do. Because a lot of times old people, they try to be real reserved, real dignified. They sit there. You can get young men fired up. And that's why the military wants young men. They want young men because you can get them fired up and go do whatever, you know. But when old folks get praising God, and I was in a church where the old people shouted and praised. I've seen women look like holiness women shout their hairpins right out of their head. I mean, just shout, ping. And the hairpin take off, and like I said, praise is one thing, and long as it's in order, long as it's in order, it's got to be in order. It can't be crazy. Now they've got this church on YouTube site. It's called Crazy White Churches, and the first thing you come up, it says Crazy White Church. Our church is the first one, and then if somebody puts some kind of called the, what is it? Some Spanish thing. It's called the, what is it? Something New York. It's something they added to. It's fun. It's funny. It's really funny. You see people running around and music is going, you know, different music. But these wise men came from the East and they're worshiping. And I want you to notice that where people from the East knew how to worship God. And you think about this, all our religions come from the East, all religions, except for the new moderns like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and stuff, they came here. But most, our Bible came from the East. And the Jewish people, God used the Jewish people, and this is a Jewish book. And God got the Word of God came from the East. People worship God in the East. Abraham worshiped God. He went up to take his son. And Genesis chapter 22, he goes up and the Bible says, and he went up and he was going to sacrifice. And I want to say this, in worship sometimes sacrifice is involved. Amen. Sacrifice. And a lot of Christians don't want to do that. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. We worship. But yeah, men, you know, I like to watch football once in a while. I can't watch a whole game. I sit there and fall asleep. But I watch football and stuff. But people talk about, oh, you bunch of people are crazy to go to church, man, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You act like fanatics in church. And then you see the same people that say that at a football game, painted up, screaming, and, you know, beating on the side like it's really going to do something. They're beating on the thing. You know, all screaming, going crazy. And they pay $200 to do that.
30 degrees, no shirts,
painted, and they look like a bunch of idiots. wearing horns and crazy stuff. And the, you know, the Redskins had a group over there called the Hogs. These guys, they were cross-dressers, man. They came in with dresses on and hog faces and everything. And they say, if you go to church and you worship God, you're a fanatic. And the same people that say that is the same people that go to basketball games, football games, hockey, NASCAR, especially NASCAR. You know, they get screaming and yelling, fighting in the stands, getting drunk, throwing beer on each other. And, you know, but we're fanatics because we worship a true God. And they worship their gods. It's inside man. It's inside of us to worship something. God made you that you're going to worship something. You're going to worship your own brain, which is not very good, not very much of a worship. But you'll worship, guys will worship, you know, men wrote songs about, I worship the ground she walks on. But then you're out next night looking for somebody else. And you'll worship a woman, you're worshiping a man, you're worshiping a house, or you're worshiping your job, you're worshiping something. It's inside you to worship something. Now, a football game, and, you know, it amazes me how people get into sports and they go crazy over it. And the Bible says, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they we've gotten in a day and age right now is people just say, I just want to be happy.
That's right.
All I want to do is I want to have fun. And I want to be happy. I want to enjoy life. Now, that's everybody wants to do that. But you can do that worshiping God.
Amen.
You can do that serving the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody says, well, I just want to be happy. I'm happy. And I'm not in bondage. And thank God I'm set at liberty, man. I don't have to be in bondage. And neither do you. Now, look at this, Matthew chapter 4, and the devil desires worship. The devil wants you to worship him. And a lot of people worship Satan. I mean, they're real fanatics. They worship the devil. And I always tell, I've seen kids that worship the devil and stuff, that I always tell them they're serving a loser. Amen. They're worshiping a loser. I'm on the winning side, brother and sisters. I'm going to win because I'm on his side. And God's going to win. It says, then when Jesus led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's what Jesus Christ, the first answer Jesus Christ says is the word of God. Scripture. And that's what Jesus does. He answers the devil with scripture. And the devil says, it is written. And the devil says, if you're the Son of God, you know, make these stones your bread. He knew Jesus was hungry. And then the Bible says, and the devil taketh them up into in the holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple and said on him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then number 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. The devil showed Jesus Christ all. That shows me right there the devil has control of all of them. He controls them. He controls Philadelphia, New York, Washington, D.C. He controls a lot of these countries in the world. Moscow, he controls all of them.
Amen.
Germany. Berlin, he controls all that stuff. And he shows Jesus Christ all this stuff. And, you know, Philadelphia, you know, was named after the Bible. It was a Christian city at one time. Now it's just, you know, whatever it is. It's controlled by the devil. And verse 9, he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou fall down, worship me. See that thing? The devil wants worship. And the devil wants you to worship him. And when we walk in the flesh, and we walk in our own wills, we're giving the devil glory.
Amen.
In verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, you're either one of the two. You're either worshiping yourself, giving the devil worship, or you're giving God the worship. You're at any given time, you got to think about that. I'm either giving God worship in my heart. As being, like I said, last week we were talking about being thankful. And if you're thankful in your heart for what God's done for you and where he's brought you from and how good he's been, and man, and you know, knowing that you got your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And a lot of Christians, they don't even give that a second thought. I say Christians save people, but they don't give that a second thought. But they think that, you know, I made it on my own. I know this, I didn't make nothing on my own. All I did was yield. Once I yield, then God does it. I got to give him the praise. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John 4, look what the Bible says. Worship is the highest occupation any Christian could ever do. Praise coming from your mouth. What happens? A lot of people sit back and they watch other people praise God, but they never get in on it. They've never praised the Lord. They've never worshiped the Lord. They've never done those things. And you don't have to do it in church. You don't have to do it in church. You can be in your car. I don't know how many times I've had a good worship service. I felt the Lord's presence in the car. I've been in my house. I've been running around my house shouting, thanking God. I go into stores sometimes. I feel like praising God right there, and I'll start praising God, start singing. And people stop and look around, and I'll start singing and praising God. And I want people to know that I love the Lord, amen? And I'm not trying to show off. I'm just saying I just want, you know, get, you know, people say, oh, you're showing. No, man, I just love the Lord. I go down to the mall. I want people to know that I love God. I'm saved. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 4, and look at this. Jesus, verse 14, it says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And inside of you, you're saved. You got a well inside you, and it should be springing up. I mean, that thing should be gushing at times. I mean, I realize when you go through troubles and trials and stuff like that, but still, it should be a, man, something in there. I remember Dr. Seiler used to sit up there, and he'd sit up, he had a big chair he sat over here in Tabernacle, and he would go, spring up, oh well, spring up. He would say that when the worship service started going. He would say, spring up. And he'd get, man, it gets excited. And, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. This is the woman of Samaria, and she was a half-breed woman. She's sitting at Jacob's well, and Jesus walks up and says, give me a drink. And disciples came back and saw that he was talking to her, and they thought, what is he talking to her for? She's a half-breed. We don't have no dealings with them. And the Lord, he went by there on purpose because he knew that woman was going to worship. You know, isn't it something that people that, you know, the Jews had that pride in them. They had that arrogancy about them that we're the ones. We're the only ones. And anybody, you know, and the Lord got sick of them, the way they acted. He turned to the Gentiles. And God would go to people that you least likely expect. He'll deal with them and let them get in on it. And that's the way the Lord is. I mean, the Lord's not, he's not a respecter of persons. And he'll come to whosoever will, let him come. I want y'all to pray because Eric just told me this morning that girl that got saved that was in all kinds of mess, she got saved over here in the August meeting. I think it was August meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah, autumn.
Autumn, and she's missing now. So she went back to the street. Now she's missing. So y'all pray for this girl, Autumn. Think about Autumn today. Pray for her. She was into prostitution, all kinds of stuff. She got saved, but you just don't, when you get saved, God's merciful, and he's tender towards people, and that's the kind of people I've seen prostitutes get saved, and their lives get cleaned up and get married, to preachers. You would never known they were prostitutes. Never known. I'll never forget, I was in a meeting one time in Tennessee, I was preaching a meeting there, and a woman came down the aisle, she was testifying, and she was testifying, telling about where she came from, and man, everybody in the church knew it. They knew where she came from. And she turned around and she pointed out some of the men. She said, y'all know me. And those men went, they put their heads down. Here they were sitting in the same building. Those men frequent her before they were saved. And you said, can that happen? Oh, yeah, the Lord can save.
Amen.
Just don't go back. Jesus said, something worse happened to you.
Right.
Look at this. And The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And she said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Jesus checking her out her honesty. If you're going to worship God, you better be honest. You better be honest. And you better be honest about yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. I'll never forget Doc say, he looked at himself in the mirror and say, You dirty dog. You stinking rotten thing. I do that. I look in the mirror, I say, You dirty rotten thing. What are you up to? You're rotten. You ain't no good. You deserve to be in hell. Talk to yourself. Have the right attitude about yourself.
Amen.
If you have the right attitude about yourself, then you can worship God. If you think, well, look at me. I'm a pretty good looking fella. Oh, I deserve a lot better than what I have. I'll tell you. My wife, she's kind of looking shabby. Oh, man. I mean, and you start thinking like that. You don't find people like that worshiping God.
Amen.
Amen. Woohoo! Yeah!
Amen.
So how do you know? How do you know all that stuff? Well, just it is run by my life.
That's right.
If I sit up here and told you I've never thought of all that junk, I'd be a liar.
Amen.
And I, you know what I do? I tell myself, shut up, you idiot.
That's right. Amen.
Shut up. I talk to myself. You shut up. What's the matter with you? You think you're something. You ain't nothing. I used to sing the song at camp. There was a boy that got saved at camp. And when we went to North Carolina, I'd go, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing but a nothing.
Amen.
And but, you know, I know the world tells you you have to have self-esteem.
Yeah.
And you got to lift yourself up. And you got to do, there's nothing wrong with having some type of self-esteem in the Lord.
That's right.
In Jesus. Knowing that what you have is because of him.
Right.
And how good he's been to you is because of him.
Right.
And the right decisions you make.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I'm making my decisions towards you. And that's nothing wrong with that. But having the way the world says, you know, and that's why when you witness to people, you say, sir, can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. Give you something to tell you about how to get to heaven. I don't need that. Get it. I don't need that. Yeah, oh, yeah, one day you will.
Amen.
One day you will. This woman, I like this woman at the well. She has the right attitude. She has the right, and the Lord checks her out and said, the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. And it is, and that said thou truly. And the woman said unto her, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I perceive you're a prophet. How'd you know that? And then she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place. She said, you say it's in Jerusalem because the Jews say that. We were talking about Jerusalem Wednesday night. Jesus said on her, woman, verse 12, 21, he said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. He puts it right out there, salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, look at this. Are you in this, are we in this group? I want to be in this group. He says, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? I want to be in that group, true worshiper. For the Father seeketh such, look at that. The Father's looking for such to worship him. The devil wants worship. Man wants worship. God wants you to worship him. Why? He's your creator.
Amen.
If anybody deserves worship, it's not you. Amen. It's not the devil.
Yep.
God does.
Yep.
And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh. And when he is he's called Christ, when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She went with the testimony and said, this is him. This is him. So worship should be a part of our daily lives. I mean, it should be. I mean, it shouldn't be just on Sunday morning.
Amen.
People, but here's the thing. People say, well, you know, we're going to worship in church this day. And there is no worship going on. There is no, and like I said, when worship comes, there's some sacrifice. On your part, not on his. He's already done the sacrifice. It's on our part. It's being thankful and praising him. Lifting up the hand every once in a while. Have a smile on your face. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And people don't do that. The word worship, it shows up first time, I think it's in Genesis 22. Look at this. Genesis 22. We've talked about this before in worship. We got Christmas coming up. Genesis 22. And look what he says. In Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass of these things that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, I am here. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the mount Moriah, or the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and he went unto the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I often thought, third day, you see all these typologies in the Bible. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ going to the cross. On the third day, he rose again. On the third day. And Abraham rose up early, set him in the morning, saddled his ass, and Jesus rode on ass's colt into this Jerusalem, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the asses. I thought about preaching a message on that one time. Abide ye here with the asses. I was gonna preach that to all men, all just men, and I and the lad will go yonder and what,
worship.
And come again to you. Sacrifice is part of worship. Sacrifice is part of worship, and you gotta get that down, man. And if you don't, it's gotta be honest, truthful, in the spirit, and then being able to sacrifice whatever God wants. You know, the Bible tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I've noticed this. When I first came to church here, there was people here. And I noticed those people are not here anymore. And I've looked at and I've talked to them people since, and you know what? They've left. And a lot of them not in church. And a lot of things happen in their lives. My wife and I was talking about it yesterday. And I said, a lot of things happen in their life and a lot of mess is going on. And I said, oh God. I pray for them. I pray God help them. I'd want to see them back. I want to see them back in church. But what happens is they get, I don't know what it is. I don't know what goes on in people's minds. And where they walk away from the Lord and they walk away from things of God. And they said, well, since so-and-so is not there, I'm not going to serve God no more.
Yeah.
If anything ever happened to me, I hope you guys continue serving God.
Amen.
That you would continue. And I know your service is not conditioned on me, but I hope. But what happens, a lot of people, they say, well, no, I've had people tell me this. There's no church like Faith Baptist Church, so I ain't going nowhere. That's stupid.
Amen.
I said, you ought to get somewhere where you can serve God. They move away from here and they'll text me back. There's no, we can't find a church like Faith Baptist. So we're not going. Text them back. I said, that's stupid. God, if you can bring God with you.
Amen.
Yeah, bring God with you, man. Worship the Lord. But this is where it starts. Look in Revelation. Revelation. Revelation 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, and which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. They were praising God for a religious system being destroyed. And look at verse 7. Let's read on down. The 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. You know, one day, folks, I think about all the folks that's already passed on, and people that's already in heaven right now. I'm thinking, man, they're probably getting there going, they're looking around going, my wife said to me this morning, she said, today, my mom would have been gone now 16 years. 16 years, I said, seemed like yesterday. I said, and she said, my brother's been gone. I preached your brother's funeral, I preached your mama's funeral, and my dad's funeral, my mother's funeral. I've preached all these funerals. And I said, they're walking around heaven. You said, what are they doing? I know what they're doing. So how do you know what they're doing? They're walking around. They're waiting. They're waiting for the for us to get there, the church to get there. And they're walking around, and I imagine people walking around and say, look, let me show you this over here. Look at this. Look at this. I have, check this out. And to them, time is no more. It's been 16 years. It's only been a few minutes they've been there. My mother passed away December 1st, 1997. My wife said to me, she said, this year will be 19 years. So my mom passed away. And my mother, man, you know, just like a mom, every mom in here, you know, I was her baby. I'm the youngest. And I'm pastoring the church. My mother would come to church here. And then on Sunday, I'd go home. And I'd go take a nap, you know, in the afternoon as we ate and everything. I'd go take a nap. And you said, well, naps are for babies. Well, call me a baby if you want. Take a nap. And so anyway, my mother would come in, and she would take the covers. And she said, Alan, I'm leaving now. And she'd cover me up. She tucked me in, and then she said, let me kiss your neck. Let me kiss your neck. I said, come on, Mom. Come on. But that's a mama. You know what? I miss that. I miss that. Now, I'm going to see my mom again. I'm going to see my loved ones again. Y'all going to see your loved ones again. And if they're saved, and they're walking around heaven saying, thank God. Thank God I accepted him. Thank God I believe the truth. And they're really worshiping God. You know, if you can get to the point in this life, and I'm going to stop here. If you can get to this, I got a lot more I can go through. But if you can get to the point in this life that you can worship God now and give him praise. I told a guy yesterday, I said, you know what? If you can give God praise and get busy serving him and serve him with all your heart, and I said, be faithful to him and put his business above your business, I said, God bless you like you wouldn't believe. If you put his business first. And I have to, the Lord reminds me. And I'll be doing something, and the Lord said, well, you said you was going to do that, and that's my business. You got to take care of my business. Oh, yeah, okay. And then I keep trying to do my thing, and it turns to crud. Right. Everything falls apart, and I go, okay, all right, Lord, all right, I'll go do that. I got to go visit somebody. I got to go do this. I got to take care of his business. So worship, it starts in Genesis, ends up in Revelation. And it should be a worship going on in our lives every day that we live. Take your Bible, look in Matthew 15. Look at Matthew 15. I wanted my kids to see my wife and I worshiping and praising. I wanted them to see it. I want my grandkids to see it. I want my grandkids to see Pop-Pop worshiping and Mamaw worshiping God. I want them to see it that it's not phony. Amen. And see, you said, well, that's the problem with me. It would be phony in my life. No, if it comes from a thankful heart, amen. And you start getting to the place of saying, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Hey. Get down praying. Thank you, Lord. It'll start bubbling up inside you. It'll start, men, it's like that well talks about, that well of living water. It'll start bubbling up, and before long, you'll find yourself going, thank you, Lord. And then you get to the place where you don't care where you're at. You don't care who's there. You just start, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look in Matthew 15. Look at Matthew 15, look at verse 9. Look what the Lord says. Back up to verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, you better guard your heart, because that's where worship comes from. It comes from in here. And your heart can get hard towards God, things of God. Your heart can get hard towards preaching. And, you know, I sit up here, I listen to guys, I love to hear guys preaching. And I sit up here and I listen to them, and things will be going through my mind about different things, about what they're preaching on and all that. That stuff will go through my mind. I think, man, that's good, that's good. And I pray for them. I'm praying for them boys. Why? Because when they're standing up here preaching, I know the devil's going to come after them. But opposition is what makes the man.
Amen.
It'll make you or break you. That's what I've told all them guys. Opposition, and that's why I'm glad them guys going to public school, they're standing up for the Lord. Opposition, I'd rather see a Christian school, but I've seen Christian schools. I've preached in Christian schools, and they're harder than any public school I've ever been in.
Right. Right.
Preaching.
Right.
They're hard kids. They don't even want to hear it. It's like they know it all. They sit there and they're like, who's he going to tell us anything? And I'm not against Christian school. I'm for it. But I tell you what, opposition is what makes you. When you go out past our tracks, when you're preaching on the street, it's opposition. It's opposition. When you're witnessing to people, opposition. And you'll either make you or break you. And so look at Matthew 15. The Lord says, with their hearts, they draw nigh with me their lip, their mouth, and honor me with their lips. You know, down south, you hear it all the time. I saw you say, oh, yes, sir. I know the good man upstairs. No, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Oh, I'll tell you what, my grandfather was a preacher.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't want my grandkids to say that.
Amen.
My grandfather was a preacher. That don't mean beans.
Amen.
If you're not saved.
Amen.
Down south, everybody's saved. You talk to everybody, oh, yeah, I've been going to church all my life. And look here. It says, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. That's the Lord talking. He says, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men. They're teaching this thing. They worship, he says, vain worship. God have mercy on Faith Baptist Church. That if our worship is vain, and God looks over the banners of heaven, and we're supposed to be worshiping on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and we're supposed to be praising him, and people are not singing. They're sitting there looking around, picking their nose, scratching their hind end, and all that stuff. And they're sitting there looking around, and they're not worshiping God. When it's worship comes from, like I said, from the heart, from a deep appreciation. Brother Brother Sean Williams came over to my house yesterday. He went to Wales, and he was over in Wales for 2 months. He was going to marry that girl from Wales. And he came back, and I said, hey, man, I thought you'd be married by now. He's a preacher. I went over there. He said, I couldn't stand it. He said, he said, man, I just couldn't stand to be there. He said, I went to church, and he said, it's dead. It's 4 o'clock. And I said, well, over in Europe, they teach, especially in Wales, England, they teach, and Brother Bilbo believed this, and he would say this to me. Brother Bilbo said this, because I'd get in here, and hey, Brother Bilbo was pastor, and I took over. I'd get in here and go, yeah, amen, brother, while he's preaching. He'd go. And he said, in England, when we went to church, we come in real quiet. She could probably testify. And you sit there. And you put your head down, and you don't say nothing. And Sean said, if I said amen in the service, he said, everybody looked at me like, you disrupted the sanctity of our service. And he said, man, it's just, And he said, I was like, my Lord, these people are like zombies. And he said he had to sit there and not say a word. Now, that's not saying they're not worshiping. That's not saying they're not. But it's just a difference. But they don't preach salvation and other things. But anyway, we'll have to stop right there. But it says vain worship. Now, think about it this morning. While the service is going on, check your heart. Now, Brother Bilbo said people would come in, and the reason why they bowed their head and prayed, they prayed, God, help me have the right heart. That's right. And during the offering, you know, offering, we take up offering here. You come here to worship, and we take up offering. Everybody starts talking. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? And everybody starts talking. But over there, they don't do that. The reason why, they're thanking God they could give something. Here, it's you know, in a way, we're kind of, what do you call it? Spoiled, that's one thing, and quenching the spirit, but we're kind of, that's supposed to be a time of worship, givingness. Mm-hmm. Givingness. It's supposed to be a time of worship and thankfulness. But then you see people going like this, oh, man, thinking, offering a plate in my face. That should be a time of worship. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Father.